They're on the center aisle there. And if you didn't get one, you can signal one of your friends. Go over and get one for you. Always enjoy the skill of our music team and the natural talent they have, but also the work they put into that to focus and direct their talent toward that worship time. I've been enjoying the work on the renovations. You'll see that I just saw this morning they got the carpet in, and it's beautiful. And it's been a joy to watch the workers, the craftsmen, do their different things, and for Bob Brownell to orchestrate the whole thing. Those are joyful works. There's been a lot of joy in this process. And I haven't seen a lot of ill-tempered and bad things going on. I've seen a lot of everybody's pushing, and they're glad about doing this thing. It was a Wall Street Journal article this last week that Saudi Arabia, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, wants to make their economy more dynamic. In other words, they want to have an economy that's not just based on oil revenues, which it has been for a long time. They went basically from nothing to being world powers because of the oil that comes up out of the ground there. And so Saudi Arabia now finds itself struggling to try and find Saudi workers to work in the different kinds of companies that they want to encourage there. And so they've passed a law a few years back that says that 40% of all employees at any company must be Saudi Arabians. And that has put companies in a very difficult bind because depending on the kind of work they do, it can be very difficult to find local workers because of the cultural bounds they have on what kinds of work they will be seen doing and what they won't do. And so what a lot of companies have done is they will hire Saudis at the lowest level workers they hire, and they'll pay them salaries just to stay home. They'll pay them so that they can show that they've got 40% of their workers are Saudi nationals on the payroll. But it's breaking companies. A lot of them are going bankrupt or quitting business before they go bankrupt. There's something in the Saudi culture that says to them they don't do work that requires getting dirty or a lot of physical exertion. There's a lot of reasons for that, and we saw that 30 years ago when I was traveling there with the Air Force. In their culture, they would rather sit at a desk, get paid $10 an hour, and be the front person at a hotel rather than make three times that much money on a construction project. That's how their culture operates. And currently, two-thirds of all Saudis who work for the government, which means they're not really producing wealth of any sort. And so companies are shutting down. But they interviewed one young man, a young man named Ahmad, and he's receiving a full-time salary for going in once in a while when the work inspectors are going to come to this country so that they can show they have Saudi workers. That's what he does for his full-time salary. But he says, I hope to find a good job. And when I do, I will not mind working hard. But he scoffs at the monthly salary that's available at some of the low-level jobs he qualifies for. He says, I won't work for that amount. He said, I will not be able to afford anything in today's economy. Well, there's a biblical principle here. And the biblical principle is, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And so if you don't work when the wages are low, then you're not going to work very hard when the wages are high. But this is not, I think this is not a unique Saudi problem. I think there's a problem like that in our country right now too. I think when the government will provide you benefits of all sorts and varieties up to around, I'm told you can, if you go throw yourself on the system, and if things work out okay for you, you can make about $50,000 a year. I'm just looking to see if anybody's getting on their cell phone right now. I don't recommend that. I don't think that's good for your soul. I think that's corrosive to your person. I think it ruins you. And so there's a lot of people who work neither hard nor smart in our country right now. There are a lot of jobs unfilled. I'm told there are more jobs available than there are workers available, especially qualified workers for certain types of work. Work is an important topic in God's economy. He has made us, He has made this earth, and we, most of us, will spend our lives working, whatever kind of work it is. And this is related to the issue of wealth, which we're going to discuss in a few weeks. But this is very much related to being a part of the kingdom of God. This is related to following Jesus, your whole attitude toward the work you do. The way we work is part of our testimony to the world. Because if everybody has to work, and some people seem to be having a good time, and others are not, people notice the difference. Well, let's talk about what that all that means as we go here. But whether your work is doing a job for working for someone else, or whether you own your own business, which is, you know, 10 times the work of having a job, or whether you're a professional, or whether you're a parent, being a parent is one of the most important jobs in our culture and society right now. Whatever it is you are doing, work as if you were hired by God Himself. Because if you study your scriptures, you will find that in fact that is exactly the case. He is the one who has brought you to that place. So in the scripture, working is an integral part of human existence ever since creation. Work is not something that just came about because of the fall or the curse of sin. Work was going on before the fall. Adam worked the garden, and the words that are used in that section in Genesis 1 and 2 are the same words that are later used to describe what the priests do in the temple. Adam is pictured as being in this temple, this Garden of Eden, which was the very temple of God in that part of the creation in the scripture and in history. It's more difficult now. We have thorns, we have thistles, we have hard ground. But our work habits and our work attitudes, they affect our physical well-being, they affect our immediate life, and it's a very large topic in the scripture, and especially in Ecclesiastes and in the Proverbs. I'm only going to quote a couple of Proverbs today, but the whole book of Proverbs is full of things about work, and Ecclesiastes talks a lot about work as well. And then you get to the New Testament, where Jesus is. And you find that the work ethics talked about in the New Testament, in fact, are derived from the wisdom literature, from the Proverbs, from Ecclesiastes, and all through the Bible. So our work habits affect our spiritual existence as well as our physical existence. So we are not, as followers of Jesus, we know that we are not working to impress God so that He will like us. It's the other way around. We are already blessed. We are already saved. If we are in Christ, we are saved by the work that God has done for us in Christ. He worked doing something that none of us could do. But we are now working hard to make our lives a living sacrifice. That's what we're told to be in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, a living sacrifice. And so we work at that. We are, if you want to look at it theologically, we are to be grateful hardworking inheritors of all the treasures of the universe. That's the position we're in. We have received this amazing thing, and so we are in the business of spreading God's wealth as far as it will go. And because we're so grateful for what has happened in our own life because of this. So we are Christ in the world. Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. Well, the Comforter wasn't just to comfort us. He was God himself indwelling us so that we would go out in the world and the world would look at us and they would learn about Jesus. They would say, this is somebody who's really glad about their life, who's glad about the work that they have to do in this world and in this life. Paul worked at the ministry that God gave him. He talked about this work. In fact, if you want to turn in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll kind of camp there for just a few minutes. But Paul gives us a picture ahead of where our work habits are going to take us eventually. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 9 through 15. Paul says that we are co-workers in God's service. Now, he's been talking about gardening and planting a field. So he says here now, we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. And now he's going to shift metaphors and he says, you are also God's building. And so he wants to talk about the construction business that, like we've been witnessing around here. He says in verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else now is building on it. Paul has left Corinth, and other people are leading in his place. But each one who builds on this foundation should build with care. Do good craftsmanship. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using, in other words, the foundation which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, if anyone builds on this using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, and he's using a metaphor to describe the kinds of work we do in this life, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that is the day of the Lord, the day he judges, the day we meet him, the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. That's pretty intimidating, don't you think? What kind of qualities do you suppose God is looking for in his work? He's looking for what will last, what will be eternal. What's the stuff you did that really will last forever in the kingdom of God? So he goes on in verse 14. If what has been built survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, if it turns out you built with substandard materials, if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So the picture and the point here is that everything we do in this life as a follower of Jesus means something in the kingdom of heaven. The attitude we take towards our job, towards our parenting, towards everything we do, our work in this world is being judged by God as the owner of the whole creation. Well, what did you do here? Let's see how it will last. And he won't just get the book out. It says he's just going to set it on fire and see if it burns. So if you were building with straw or wood or something that's not eternal, it might just burn up. But if you were building with things that last forever, it will come through the fire. So that's the New Testament. That's the kind of the end of the story summation. You've had all this much to get to this place in the Bible. And that's what it means to work. That's what it means to be in Christ and work and do work. So Jesus gives us the starting place to begin what is our real work. And what is our real work is whatever we're doing. That includes whatever it is you have come to in this life. Your personality, your skill set, everything has driven you to a particular place, and you're here, and it might not be what you would have picked for yourself, or it might be something you're not completely satisfied with, but it's paying the bills, or it's getting done what needs doing right now, and that's where you are. So will you live in such a way that you are serving the Lord by doing this thing, or will you spend your time being unhappy and trying to be somewhere else while you're here? Wherever you are working at being Jesus to your world. Remember, we have our My World lists? They're watching how you do your life, how you do your work. And you are, they're evaluating Jesus based on you and based on me. The principles for work have always been the same, and that's exactly what's on these little cards. You don't need one of these. You know these already. I just had them written up in print so that you could see them and maybe imprint them, re-imprint them on your mind about what we're doing here and be encouraged here. So just let me just give these to you right now. This is what God is telling us to do by way of work, and that is simply to work hard, to work smart, and work for the Lord. Pretty straightforward. And find your joy in the middle of that. So let's talk for a minute about working hard. Paul says in that scripture we just read, I laid a foundation. He did the labor. He came and he shared the gospel with people that didn't want to hear it. He got beat up and left for dead more than one time. He had a lot of scars on his back by the end of his lifetime for all the times he had received beatings from the officials that be that didn't want this message to go out. But he was called to do that, and so he did it. I laid a foundation for you, Corinthians. Now, let's take a jump back to the Proverbs. And you don't have to turn there. You can if you want. I'm at Proverbs 10 right now. I'm just going to read two verses. This principle, and we've heard things like this our whole life, and they're still absolutely true. Lazy, upturned palms. Like, please give me something. Lazy, upturned palms make a person poor. But diligent hands bring wealth. Now, that's first grade truth, but it's true. It's foundationally true. The second verse after, or the next verse after that, Proverbs 10, 4 and 5, says that he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son. Remember we were talking about wisdom? If you do work and do it hard, you're being a wise person. But he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. That is not a wise son. Now, notice in here, this is talking about farming. Victor Calgren will tell you that there's no guarantees in the world about farming. There's no guarantees about the weather, and there's no guarantees about the market. The only guarantee might be that the prices aren't going to be what you want when it comes time to sell your product. It's tough out there. But if you do nothing, you get nothing. And so that's where we begin. Hard work will pay. The New Testament takes that principle. 2 Thessalonians 3, some people were getting very theological. They said, the Lord is coming soon, and he's coming soon, so I think I just won't go to work anymore. I think I'll just eat out of the community food pantry that we have at church. And Paul says this to the church. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. Now, Paul earned all his money by making tents on the side. We used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. So, hunger is still a basic motivation for work. If you don't harvest the crops, you don't have anything to eat. How's that work? He goes on, verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. When people aren't working, they set about doing things that, again, are not always good for their souls. So work is not wasted time. We live in a culture and a time that says, if you're not doing something that's making you physically, giving you pleasure, making you happy, then you're wasting your time. So I'm just going to work while I can so that I can get quick in my car and out to the golf course, out to the beach, whatever. And people who live in such a way that their whole life is based around making sure they're comfortable and having pleasure all the time are some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet, because they become desperately afraid that they're going to not have what they think they need to have to be happy all the time. But Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote the Proverbs as well. He said, and Solomon was a guy who did massive construction projects. He had millions of slaves working for him. He had all kinds of money. He had everything that he could set his mind to. And he said, in the end, what I find that I have never found anything in my life that brought me any more joy than a workman experiences when he does his work well and goes home and enjoys his family. It doesn't get any better than that in this world and in this life.